Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we are going to be having a special guest, Vaishali, who is going to be with us later on, and we are right now trying to find some information. I have managed to misplace certain details, so one of my associates is working on getting that, and so we're going to be looking at getting in touch with her in about 15 minutes or so. I wanted to start off today's show with a thought, and it's by Jonathan Edwards, and the thought is so good, so appropriate for today's tumultuous times, all of the things that are going on. Every time you turn on the television, you go to listen to the news, you're, my gracious, all this argumentative stuff that's going on. And it's one of the things I love about doing this show is because I'm around people and I interact with people who are very active in making this world a better place. And it's something where every single one of us have that unique contribution that we can make that enables us to be so significantly powerful in our own way on all kinds of levels. I was talking with a business executive, and there was a lot of concern about cutbacks, and this one particular business organization decided they were going to sit down with all of their employees, and they were going to talk with their employees, telling them exactly what was going on. Well, this isn't fun. If you are a responsible person, you've got a good business, you've got a lot of people working for you, you get to know the people that are working with you. Get to know their families. You know something about the circumstances that are going on in their lives. And the last thing you want to do is to lay them off because you realize this is a very difficult thing for anyone to go through, whether it's a good economy, a bad economy. It's just tough. You don't like to do it. So what this executive did, he sat down with the employees and he just laid everything out in black and white. He said, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. I have sat down with our accounting department. I have looked at all of these things. We've got cutbacks. But I want to let you know what's going on so that you're not out there feeling isolated. I want you to be aware of what's happening, and I want some ideas from you. Well, it really surprised the employees. And they were, because of the gossip mill, you know how that is when you're at work, there's all kinds of things, and the bigger the company, the more the gossip mill seems to grind out goodies. Well, what he found is that by doing that, the gossip mill actually came to a screeching halt. Instead, he threw the challenge out and said, I am open to any ideas and any suggestions. So he set a time frame. It was like a couple of days later. He said, I want you to go home. I want you to talk with your families. I want you to brainstorm with each other, and then let's talk in 2 days. Because it was a critical situation, and they did exactly that. And what came out of it was the employees themselves made a determination that they were going to do things a certain way. And so they all interacted with each other. And then when the meeting came, where they were sitting with all of the head executives of the company, they had one or two people that they said, you can represent us, you can be our spokesperson, and the brainstorming began. So they came up with a concept of a rotational shift that would allow all of the people to still work, but their hours would be cut back. But the company also became aware, because of some very inventive employees, of ways of running their business. They became aware of how to do things differently. And the executives said it was an experience they never, ever thought they could have. part of the people in upper management anticipated a lot of their employees were just not going to come up with anything unique and unusual, and that really there wasn't too much that could be done. They were just in financial soup, so to speak. That was not good. However, what came out of it was not only a better productivity level on the part of the employees and management, but they realized they could do certain things differently. So what happened was the company, yes, they were going through setbacks, but by looking at the ideas of the employees that were actively involved in day-to-day operations, they found they then were able to do things that they never dreamed were possible. So Jonathan Edwards says, resolve, I've resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved never to lose one moment of time to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Resolved never to do anything which I should despise or think meanly of in another. And I resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Now, Jonathan Edwards, when he wrote that, he was talking from his heart. And I think if we can take a positioning like that, I think of the people that were a part of this company and looking at what was going on with them. I think of different things that are evolving on so many levels of life. Why not open up and have communication? Why not, if you're in a dilemma or you're finding yourself in a scrunch of some kind, say, I need some help. Believe me, you'll be very, very glad you did. Because when we reach out, when we're willing to talk to others, when we're willing to do for others, we're not going to come up short. We're going to come up with the best of what we possibly can. And that leads me into a very significant story. And it's about a lady by the name of Kathy. 25 years of age, she thought, because she went through a very, very life-threatening illness that caused a disfigurement of her physically, that she never, ever could possibly have a life that would have meaning. Well, as it turned out, Kathy was in for a big surprise. Not only did her life have meaning, but she met the love of her life. So I'm going to be sharing that story with you. Now, I do know that we are going to be interacting with Vashelli, and we are in the process of trying to find the number because it has been misplaced, and that is my fault, not anybody else's. So what we're going to do is perhaps take a break for a little bit. And, Don, if you are listening, let's take a break right now. I've got some information, and let's see what we can do about reaching Vashelli and talking with her because she's got some fascinating material. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and Vashelli, we have contacted the number, and we're waiting to hear from her because she apparently is on another phone line, or she is not available at the moment, so we will be waiting for her to come on. I had said to you that Kathy, this is a woman who went through circumstances I don't think any of us would want to go through. She was 25 years of age. She had gone through some very, very difficult times. She had lost her husband. He was killed in an automobile accident. She found that her life just didn't seem to come back together after his death, which is not surprising. 6 years go by, and then she discovers a soft lump in her left breast. So she was in her early 30s. She was about, she just turned 30. She said it couldn't be cancer. However, it was. What they ended up doing was giving her a radical mastectomy. She went through breast reconstruction. She had chemotherapy. you know, all everything that you go through when you have that horrific situation. And when she would look at herself, she'd lost all of her hair. She had scars all over her chest from the radical mastectomies. Her eyebrows were gone. And all she could think of was how ugly she was. Who would want her? Well, she had some friends that loved her a great deal, wanted her to get a life. So they encouraged her to do something that she really didn't know that she wanted to do, but there was a part of her that just couldn't resist it, and that was checking out some internet dating services. Well, what that did, they started getting her out into social activity. However, every time that she would go out on a date, and maybe she'd start to get to know someone and she was feeling comfortable with them, Kathy was a very upfront person. She told them, whoever she was dating, she would tell that person that she had had breast cancer, what she went through, and they were just terrified. The men just turned away from her. Well, something inside of her wouldn't give up. So she went on the internet this one time, and she saw someone that was interested in meeting with her, and he was a little bit younger than her, maybe like about a year. And she said, "This is interesting. We seem to have very similar compatibility components here." And so they started talking to each other. Well, it was just instantaneous recognition. It's as if they had known each other all of their lives. Now, Kathy had been through such tough times for over 6 years. She thought, there never, ever is going to be any love in my life. This guy is just too good to be true. And I'm not going to play any games. He's going to know the facts right up front, before we even really get to meet. Because she had gone the other route. Good communication, then she'd meet someone, she'd get to know him a little bit, and then she'd tell him everything would go into the toilet. This time, before she even met the guy, she said, I am going to tell this man that I just think seems to be just a wonderful guy exactly what goes on. So she told him everything that had happened to her, and she didn't get an email back. Well, she said, I guess that's the way it goes. However, all of a sudden, something came up on her screen, and this man responded in a very caring way. He said, I lost my mother to breast cancer a month ago. My aunt is a 7-year-old survivor. You must be a very, very special person and strong to have survived as you have. Wow. There was another bond. He had lost people that he had loved. She had lost someone that she had loved. Well, the communication just kept getting better. Eventually, they decided they were going to meet. And when they met, he complimented her. And she said, weeks went by and it just seemed natural to be able to do something nice for him. So she did something nice for his birthday. And he said, you know what? I think you're a beautiful person. And right then and there, they knew that they were going to be together. She said, how could I ever get to be so lucky? So eventually he proposed to her. He didn't care about the scars. He didn't care about what she had gone through. All he knew is that this was a woman of strength, of character, and someone that he found that it was so easy to love this person, and he wanted her to be his wife. She said, I, on the second year of my cancer diagnosis, am with a wonderful man. We replaced a bad memory with a perfect, perfect day, because that she chose to be her wedding day. Now, they've been together for a number of years now, and she is cancer-free. She is dedicating herself to showing women, no matter what their age, that have breast cancer, that their lives can be rich, can be full, and they don't need to look at themselves as being ugly. She said, there's a reason I'm here. I rediscovered happiness, and I want other people to know they can too. Now, there's some wonderful suggestions that Kathy has. She said, when you're with someone that you really care for, don't be afraid to touch them. Just because someone has cancer doesn't mean that they won't enjoy a hug. It doesn't mean that they don't need to be touched. The worst thing you can do is to be isolated from them. You're not going to catch something from them. When they have the cancer, you're going to be able to support them, and they need that. That's very important. Also, she said, log on to Facebook or any other social networking site. She said, if you join that kind of a social site, it enables you to build your self-esteem. She calls it social capital, and people care. They really do care. And she said also, for any women that perhaps have had breast cancer or they're given a diagnosis, it's very important to remember you need to use weights to bring your muscles back into strength. And she said, regardless of what your size is, if your muscles are good and strong, then you're going to feel better about yourself and you're going to feel more toned. And there's been research done by London University that has found that to be very true. So remember, Kathy is sharing her story because it is a story that can affect any and all of us at any time. Sometimes there are people that have accidents. Sometimes there are things that occur to us physically, and we beat ourselves up thinking that we're hideous, that nobody could ever love us. But you know, when someone really sincerely cares for you, they love you for who you are. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be as attractive or as good-looking as you possibly can. You want to take care of yourself. That's very important for your own self-esteem. But love is something that's like a rainbow. It does not know that it isn't there. It just is. And there are so many shades of love, so many different types of love. If you remember, you've been given this opportunity to live this life, I guarantee you, not only will there be wonderful people that want to love you, but also you have the opportunity to share your gift of love as well. And as I said, there's many different shades and many ways of expressing it. And there's such a joy when you can do that. It really makes a difference. And Kathy, I have to congratulate her because she has done something just very, very special that is affecting the lives of other women that have gone through and maybe are looking to experience what she went through. And she says, use me as an example. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to be real, because it helps when you can talk to someone who's walked the route before. So Kathy, hat my hat off to you. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in a couple of minutes, not yet. But before we do, I want you to know we're going to open those telephone lines, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and both of those toll-free numbers are available. The second number, 888-815-9756, is available to any of you that are in the world, any country. You'll be able to call in here to bbsradio.com and chat with me, and I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Well, Vaishali, we have not been able to reach her, so I will mention her books, though, because they are just great. She's got You Are What You Love playbook, and she's got the book itself, You Are What You Love. And she has some wonderful, thoughtful experiences that she shares, and I do know that she is going to be appearing at the Conscious Life Expo, so I'm going to have a chance to interact with her there. And so if you're in Los Angeles, I'm sorry that she wasn't able to make the show today, but if she should call in, then we are going to bring her on. Sometimes things happen with people that you absolutely have no way of controlling, so we'll just take it one step at a time. Hey, Super Bowl is coming up. How would you like to fix a hero sandwich? If you're like me, if you're going to have a bunch of people over, for heaven's sake, you want to keep it simple. Well, this giant pesto hero sandwich really is good, and it's something you actually would be able to get all your ingredients set up and ready to go, and then when it comes to fixing it, it's just assembly. And if you have kids, if you have friends coming over, hey, set up an assembly line, and that thing will be ready and nothing flat. And actually, I'd recommend fixing a couple. This is different from pizza I know a lot of people swear by pizza, but sometimes it's good to have something a little bit different. So I'll be sharing that concept with you as we go along in the programming. It's real simple. It's real easy. Well, we are going to take a break here for just a moment. And when we come back, again, telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And that's worldwide, U.S. and worldwide. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Siegel.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTab Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Cindy, and I'm in Florida.
Hi, Cindy. Where are you in Florida?
I'm in Central Florida between Orlando and Ocala in Lake County.
Okay. All right. Now, what I want to say to you right off the bat is you need to be aware that in the negotiation you're going to be involved with, I'm seeing you with two or three people at a table, and this negotiation is quite significant. You're going to find yourself really concerned about covering certain fine points. And you have a right to be concerned, because it seems like at the last minute you are pulling certain things together and you're saying, oh, gee whiz, I should have been more attentive, I should have paid more attention, all this kind of stuff that runs through our minds. But actually, if you let the other individual speak first and listen carefully to what they're saying, you know the positioning that you want to take. If you will do that carefully, you're going to come out way ahead. You're really going to find yourself in a positive positioning that's going to enable you to be able to do exactly what you need to do for you. So you're going to be in a very opportune positioning, but it is something that's going to be a challenge to you, because it's going to be a whole new experience. It's as if the circumstances are coming about in a way that you would never have expected. It's out of the box. But you're going to be able to manage it. Just be willing to listen before you put out your information. So that'll give you some time to do some reorganization of your own process that you want to present in this mediation. Because there's a negotiation, obviously, that's going on here. What's on your mind? What did you want to ask me?
Wow. Well, there's a couple different issues that are going to bring up negotiations that I was going to ask you about.
Well, isn't that cool?
Sure. Okay, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Maybe you can, if I give you a little more, you can tell me on it.
Yeah, this is a specific meeting. This is a specific meeting. So
specific meeting.
Yeah, it's a specific meeting. You're going in with details of information. So what is it that you've got that's right in front of you right now?
Wow. I need to move my horses from where they are.
Okay.
I'm being forced to move them off my property because they just don't have any grass here. And I'm getting what I'm spending on hay, and it's just constant harassment and just, I have to get them off this property. There's a couple of options that have come up. When I spoke with you before, I asked you about a property I went and looked at 3 hours north of here, and you said you had feeling of dishonesty with the person or hesitation. I should watch out for doing business with them.
I think you called in either last week. It wasn't that long ago when you called in.
It wasn't that long. It was like last week. It wasn't too long ago. And, okay, so that property, I went up and looked at it. I talked to the gentleman. It's really overpriced. But two other properties are kind of available to move the horses to. What just happened, there's a friend of a friend of mine. It's a lady. She has 100 acres that she leased. It's not costing anything. I can put the horses on there for free, but we have to repair a lot of fencing.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of us really have the money to do it, and we're trying to use some old fencing that we have and trying to put together something right now because it's a lot of fencing. And she has some horses on it, but they keep getting out.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the road. That's like 20 minutes from where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a gentleman that I've been seeing, a long-term relationship, on and off for 11 years. He just all of a sudden wanted me to bring my horses up to where he's at, which is close to that other property, 3 hours from here. He has horses on a property, and it's a huge property, tons of grass, plenty of room, but he's been trying to manipulate and control me for so many years. He wanted me to move up there with him, and I wouldn't because of the living conditions and what's going on in his household, and I just won't live in that and under those terms. And he's trying to get a job, a project out of the country, and he's going to be out of the country. And he's been putting this together, but he just told me about it this morning.
Well, so, okay, let's stop there, Cindy. I think you've already answered your own question. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion to you that's going to seem a little bit far-fetched.
Okay.
I would like for you to contact some of the horse rescue groups that are in your local area. And I would encourage you to just get on the phone. I think that this lady that is offering you this opportunity, it's very good, and she's right. The fences, you know, obviously have to be fixed. You don't want any of the animals to be, you know, endangered because
right.
they're not there. But I would contact a couple of these rescue groups and tell them of the situation that you're in, and you'd like to know if there might be an opportunity to get some people to help out. And, you know, maybe there'd be somebody that would be able to help you with your horses. But I think you need to keep them closer to you. And you've got a whole nother issue with this relationship. And I'm not even going to go into that. But I would say what you need to do is look at what the first priority is. And that is your animals. And you want
right.
to take care of them first and foremost. And you want to make sure that whatever arrangement you make, that you're going to have some kind of a written agreement. You don't want anybody surprising you later on. So if you're going to be using somebody's property and they say, well, if you'll help me fix the fences, it won't cost you anything. I need help. Okay, fine. Then just have some kind of a note that has the specifics. This way you'll be able to keep an eye on your horses, because one of your horses is so sensitive to change, and I don't know which one it is, but one of them, whenever there is a change, either in their regimen, their food, whatever, it's a big adjustment. It just takes a long time for this animal to settle down. And once they settle down, they're fine. So it's important, one, to keep the animals together because they have a camaraderie. Two, you want it so that it's easy for you to get to them. If they need something, then you can get to them. And three, you want to be able to enlist the aid and assistance of people who understand the horses. And I think that you probably will be able to sit down and look at what's needed. And I like your resourcefulness, you know, maybe using something that's already been used in another place. But there may be somebody that would be willing to donate some materials that they have. So I would encourage you to look at that avenue.
Okay.
You need some help here. It's, I know how strong and independent you want to be, but you need help. And you need the clarity in people that have a love for the animals. I've found this through the years, that so many of these organizations, these people are so dedicated, so sincere. They really will do everything that they can to enable someone to continue to be able to take care of their animals. But if you don't ask, you're not going to find out.
Right. I've just been hearing how all the animals, you know, rescue groups that are so overwhelmed right now because people are just turning their horses in and turning them loose in the woods and stuff because they can't afford to feed them. And
well, I understand that, and they are overwhelmed. But again, these are people, just like you, that they're resourceful and they'll say, I maybe can assist you with something, or I know someone that can help you, and maybe there will be something you'll be able to do for somebody else. You know, there's a mutual communication here that'll go on. So,
okay.
Yes, all of the rescue and shelters are under pressure because there is a lot of this that goes on. We've had a serious situation when men and women in the military had to go overseas for long periods and they had to find places for their dogs or their cats because they couldn't take care of them. They were going to be on a mission. And
mm-hmm.
it was just, I know here in the Pacific Northwest, we had thousands and thousands of animals that new homes had to be found for. But it was worked out. And I think it's the same thing. Now, horses are, you know, a whole different kind of a scenario that you have to work with. But there are a lot of people that really care, and they will be there. They will be willing to help. But if you don't ask, you won't know.
Okay, so do you think this would be a good place to take them, is this 100 acres that this woman has? Will that
yes,
work out
I think
to be a good
so.
Place?
But I also
okay.
would try to find out about some people that maybe have some materials that will enable you to put the fencing up as it needs to be done.
Okay.
And I think there's, you know, there's even certain groups young people. You might want to contact, you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs, contact some of the colleges around and say, we need some help with some fencing. This will help the animals. Put the word out there. Put the word out.
Okay.
You'll get the help you need, and your horses are going to be fine, and they're going to be healthy.
Okay. And the negotiations you were talking about, that didn't have anything to do with the horse pasture issue?
I don't think so. I think this is something else.
Would it have anything to do with my property? There's some legal issues going on with my property.
I would say that fits better.
That fits
with
better.
With the image that I'm looking at, yes, that fits more appropriately. I think this with the horses can be worked out. I think this is something that will be worked out. And you're going to be dealing with some variables with the horses. When it comes to your own property situation, I think that's what this negotiation is.
Okay. And yeah, the opposing attorney, they've done a lot of fraudulent stuff, and I had to terminate my attorney, and the whole thing was on fraudulent on their part. And my attorney went on their payroll as well. And I ended up terminating him. Tried to just get the judge disqualified because he wouldn't even listen or look at any of the evidence. And then he denied that, and he sat and he listened to it in the last hearing to try to cover his butt. So now there's legal documentation of what took place. And so now the other attorney called me saying he had a proposal. He'll have it put together by the middle of next week and wants to try and make some, you know, kind of an offer or deal.
Well, remember, this is more of what you're going to have to be very alert to, because a lot of the jargon and a lot of what might be brought forth is not going to be common to your experience. Going to be a whole different thought processing. So remember, you listen carefully. Don't sign anything until you thoroughly understand what the results could be. So you have to be very, very savvy here. You assume nothing.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Cindy.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. You're such a blessing. You're awesome.
Well, thank you, hon. And do let us know how the horses turn out, because I think that this gal is an honest woman. I really do. And I think that she just feels overwhelmed herself. So don't be afraid to ask for help. There are a lot of people out there that would just be delighted.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, if you'd like to call in and chat, give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, and also worldwide, U.S. and any other and every other country in the world, 888-815-9756. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me anything that you like. And this is a mental skill that I've worked with for a lot of years, and I call myself an information resource, and that's what I like to encourage people to realize. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago on a radio program, and the question was brought up about the various expressions that people have to demonstrate psychic ability. And the truth is, it comes in all kinds of expressions. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, caller. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Washali.
Hey! Washali! Great! I'm so glad we were finally able to connect.
Honey, I've been dialing nonstop, and I have not been able to get through.
Oh, my word. Well, we called you. Now, we're going to be going on a break for just a minute, Washali. Will you stay with me? Because I want to talk about your fabulous, fabulous books. You
are. I would adore that, Donna.
Okay, dear. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Vishali, finally, we were able to connect. Yahoo! So we'll be talking with her in just a moment. Don't go away.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danyon Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Vaishali, we finally were able to connect with her, and I'm so excited. Vaishali, I met you for the first time last October when we were at Teresa's Taps retreat, and you gave me your books in a velvet pouch, purple pouch, and little did I realize when I opened up that purple pouch, it matched all the books that you put out.
Yes.
Which I thought was really neat. Now, I have 3 of them in front of me. One is You Are What You Love. The other one is Wisdom Rising. And then you've got It's Time to Wake Up with the You Are What You Love playbook.
Yes.
Vaishali, you have a real vibrancy about yourself. You have a tremendous enthusiasm for life, and I do know you're going to be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, so we'll have a chance to connect and maybe have a cup of tea while we're there. Who knows?
How delightful.
But I know you are one busy lady, but I had to chuckle because inside your book, and I'm going to read it verbatim, you describe yourself as the only spiritual teacher you'll ever meet who dresses like a stripper and talks like Lenny Bruce. And that just really made me chuckle. And you graduated magna cum laude from the Religion and Philosophy Department as well as the Radio and Television Department from San Francisco State University. Now, you've always been interested in what we call the far-out stuff, the esoteric wisdom, as you like to describe it. But you say, you call yourself a deadhead. Why?
Well, people that are fans of the Grateful Dead, they call themselves deadheads. The layman might interpret it as meaning that their gray, white and gray matter is inactive, but it simply means that they are into the Grateful Dead. That's just Grateful Dead vernacular. And Grateful Dead vernacular deadheads think that the interpretation by the mainstream audience as considering them to be, intellectually stymied is entertaining and amusing.
Aha. Okay. Now we know what that means as far as you're concerned. That's terrific. You have a real enjoyment of sharing your knowledge with people. What made you decide you had to publish these books?
You know, Donna, when I wrote You Are What You Love, I was diagnosed terminal for the second time. I was diagnosed terminal after a car accident, and I didn't know if I was going to live. There was actually a number of years after the accident that it was very difficult for me to stay alive, and I didn't know if I was going to live or not. And a number of people came and said, you know, you need to write down what you've learned and what you know and how you help people. Because if you go the way that you understand how you piece together from your different studies and the different esoteric experiences that you've had, you haven't documented them. Nobody can connect the dots the way that you have. And if you go right now, that goes with you. So I began writing it down as a way of preserving it, and also as a way of, because I was experienced a head injury, I wanted to make sure that I remembered it, that I got it all down and remembered it before I either didn't live or experienced something further complications that might render that information beyond my memory again.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I think that your friends did you a favor because of them encouraging you to do that. I think that it's very easy, especially when we survive physical trauma, as you have, to release it and not want, you know, we disassociate from it because we're moving on. We've got other things that we want to do. We don't want to go back and rehash things over and over again. I found it intriguing that at the first part of your book, you were talking about a Swedish mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg. You don't hear his name mentioned very often. How is it that this man touched your life?
You know, Donna, that goes back to the first time I was diagnosed terminal in my mid-20s. And I was diagnosed terminal that time from an illness. And I came across him, a friend of mine was the philosophy professor at Sonoma University, and he had put out this tape set. Remember when we used to listen to tapes before
mm-hmm.
CDs?
Mm-hmm.
I'm dating myself. And he had out this tape series, and there were a lot of things on the tape series I was familiar with. I knew about existentialism and Freud and reincarnation, but this one was marked Swedenborg. And I had no idea what Swedenborg was. I didn't know if it was something you needed a penicillin shot for. I'd never heard of it. So I listened to it, and that's where I got my first introduction to the great Emanuel Swedenborg, this 18th century Swedish mystic. And everything that he wrote, and he wrote prolifically, Donna, he wrote over 35 volumes of work. He wrote over 4.5 million words on the nature of the spiritual realm and how it relates to our physical existence. And it all boils down to this one spiritual law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And when I heard that, I had such an inner revolution in my life because, again, as I had mentioned, I've been diagnosed terminal. I was in a tremendous amount of pain. And I thought, you know, I've got nothing to lose to look at this law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So I started examining what I was giving my attention to. And I was horrified, Donna. I was horrified when I realized that I was really addicted to worry, that that's what I gave a majority of my attention to in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to realize after some time, especially my studying of Chinese and Indian Ayurvedic medicine, that that was affecting my health, that was actually one of the major influences that was causing my organs to rot out inside of me, because there's nothing life-sustaining in giving your attention to worry. And when you love worry, you love being stressed out and not supported. And all of that was eventually taking an energetic toll on my life. And I realized at some point I had a choice. I could either indulge myself in my addiction to worry, in which case I would not live, or I was going to have to give up that addiction. I was going to have to give up that habit, and I was going to have to practice something else with my attention. And Swedenborg suggests that we live according to what we give our attention to. So if you give your attention to limiting things, you live in a spiritually, hellishly limited existence. And if you give your attention to unlimited things, then you live in a spiritually unlimited place. And I definitely found that to be immediately and pristinely accurate in my own life, and began realizing if I didn't want this hellish existence, I was going to have to choose to love something else with my attention.
That is quite a major step forward to be able to recognize that, because you have in your book a statement, and it's about one of the renowned Buddhist teachers, but it's everything is a question of training and the power of habit.
Yeah.
And just what you've described is something that any and all of us can get ensnared in. And that is that that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to worry, even though that worrying doesn't have an effect on anything but ourselves. And your point about how it affects us internally is so true. It
you
is
know,
so
isn't
true.
That the truth, Donna? Our culture says, look, if you can't pay your bills, but at least if you worry yourself to death, then you're a good person.
Mm-hmm. And that's a farce.
Oh, it's
insane.
A total farce.
Because if you are able to look at it and say, all right, this is where I am right now. I don't know what opportunities may be there for me, but I'm going to be in the moment right now. If I've got to wash the dishes, then I wash the dishes. If I have to answer the phone, I have to answer the phone. If I've got to write a letter, I write a letter. I think that was one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn, and it's something I have to constantly remind myself of because it's very easy to get sidetracked and to forget to be present. You try to get too far ahead of yourself. But when you're mindfully present, it's amazing how things will just shift.
And you're right. It is easy to get distracted on a moment-to-moment basis. That's why the power of habit is so extremely important. Because if you have the habit of bringing yourself back into the present moment, remembering, I don't have love, I am love. And as love, that means I can't create a learning experience that I don't need, and that everything in the physical world was created for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to facilitate the evolution of my soul. So that means I'm senior to the stresses and anxieties and worries in my life. And if you have a habit of defaulting back to that truth and remembering that, that'll help you in those moments when that natural tide of distraction wants to pull you out into deeper water.
Yes, I like it where you say, if you watch your mind, your wave, it'll parade in front of you all the news you've trained it to program in air over and over again, ad nauseum. And I think that's true. I've done it. In fact, it was just something yesterday that I went through and I went, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this nonsense? And it was a patterning. They call it monkey mind. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know,
the barking
mind, clutter,
dog,
chatter, you know, all kinds of stuff. But it does. It just really gets in the way. Now, when you put this book together, mm-hmm. you said there are, in one chapter, the ultimate truth and the ultimate lies. Ultimate truth, there's only the one and there's always infinite abundance. And you have people today, which, and I don't say they're wrong in doing this, they're saying, well, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, we've got this, that, or the other. It really is interesting when we can back off and let life take care of itself, how many times it replenishes itself. But if we keep beating on something, if we keep shredding it and tearing it down, then it doesn't have enough time to be able to replenish itself. Mother Nature is a great teacher if we just pay attention to her.
And there are some times when it's appropriate to let something move out of our life.
Mm-hmm.
The temporal world is called the temporal world. Buddhism likes to particularly attach that label because everything in this world is constantly in flux and change and motion, and nothing stays the same. This world is designed to come together and fall apart, and it's just a natural flow of the temporal world for things to change. But part of what we need to grow beyond as human beings is we have this unreasonable attachment to wanting things to stay the same and then having a very resistant and adverse reaction when the nature of the temporal world reveals itself and things change because we insist on it remaining stable and remaining consistent and remaining the way that we want when that's to be completely out of integrity with the way that this world is wired.
Let's talk about mastery. I don't know of anyone that would not like to be able to describe themselves as a master. And there is that master part of us within. There isn't a human being walking that doesn't have it on some level. But being able to recognize it and acknowledge it usually takes quite a journey.
That's what practice is all about, isn't it, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
This keeps going back to a practice and the spiritual law, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And masters are people that have simply practiced giving their attention to things that live in an unlimited realm, that take them to an unlimited place, and sustain their nervous system in being constantly evolving and as opposed to hellishly limited and restricted and anxiety-riddled. And it all comes down to our free will and what are you choosing to practice with your free will. And I tell people the truth of the matter is that everybody on the planet learns from giving their attention to limiting things, being stressed out, being anxiety-riddled, and then choosing to let go of that. Because we learn so much in going from hellishly limited to inspired and confident and self-assured. And it's in covering that mileage that we get our mastery. So there's no judgment, there's no criticism. It's just a matter of coming down to every present moment. Is what you're giving your attention to, is that truly what you wish to love with your life force while you're here? Is that really what you want to put your love towards?
And you go for it. You bring out a section in your book, Lucid Dreaming.
Yeah.
Share it with my listeners. What is lucid dreaming, and how can it be used as a tool?
Really good question, Donna. Most people are familiar with non-lucid dreaming, although in mainstream vernacular, we probably don't really identify REM, R-E-M, rapid eye movement, the state where we're dreaming, as non-lucid dreaming. But lucid dreaming is where you actually realize that you're asleep and that everything that you're experiencing is being generated by your unconscious dreaming mind. Now, most people have had flashes of lucidity, and that's not what I'm talking about. Most people have had an experience where the dream starts turning in a bizarre or a strange or stressful way, and they realize, oh, okay, this is just a dream. I'm okay. And that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is for a sustained period of time, realizing that everything that you're experiencing is from your sleeping mind, and you make use of that by going up to your dream characters and asking them questions like, who are you? Who am I? What would you like to tell me? What do you need from me? Because everything that we're looking at in our mind is a part of our mind we have not integrated. That's why it's appearing as separate from us. And it's a time when your conscious and unconscious mind, the door to the conscious and unconscious mind, is completely wide open. So you can walk through it into your unconscious mind and see what it looks like, see how it's organized, see what the dream characters there have to tell you. And the great thing about dream reality is that you could talk to a lamppost or you could talk to a dog or a chair, because inanimate objects can communicate with you in a dream because they're not subject to the same restrictive laws as waking reality. And one of the things that I find really helpful about it is that most of us have not made our mind our friend, Donna. We are at odds with our mind. And the way that you get the best clarity about that is if you have a lucid dream, is going to the dream characters and asking them questions, asking them if you can help them, if they will help you, and seeing what kind of treatment you get from them. If they're reticent to you, to respond to you, if they're reticently helpful, or if they kind of look at you and, you know, give you the bird and give you answers that are really meaningless or basically one syllable, yes or no, and they're not more forthcoming than that, then you can really begin to experience how much of your mind is at odds with itself and is not harmonizing and is not working with you, because you can't change anything that you're not conscious of, because we're consciously driven creatures. We're creatures of consciousness. And if you want to change something in your life, you have to become conscious of it. And this is a great way to kind of cut to the chase. And independent of what your waking consciousness thinks, or independent of, you know, what healthcare provider you pay, what their opinions are, this is a way of going right to your mind and finding out whether it's helpful, whether it's not helpful, whether it's divided, whether it's integrative, and what it would like to tell you.
Your playbook, I thought, was a hoot. Because right here, you have in here, in the name of all that is holy, sacred, and Bugs Bunny. And I thought, that is really cool. You wouldn't put anybody through a workbook. But this is a playbook. And so you've got all of these wonderful exercises that people can try to do, like looking for answers in a dream. Again, we were just talking about lucid dreaming. You go into a little bit about Swedenborg. You talk about Dreamlight. You've got how to play in Dreamland. And I've always found it so fascinating how we're always dreaming when we're sleeping. Everybody does. Many people don't remember. But how sometimes a lot of those dreams will just come, they'll go, you don't retain them. But boy, when you're supposed to get a message, it hits you right between your mental eyes on multiple levels, and you can't forget it. It's like you can't shake it off. It's calling your attention and saying, you will remember me. And this is something where these little exercises that you have in here, writing one's own stories, being able to keep notes, and you have it month by month, and it's to enable one to come to a journey of understanding about themselves. So you really have put together quite a package here.
That was the intention, sweetheart, because I've got this great motto, Donna. One of my favorite mottos is, if the wisdom you have isn't pulling your butt out of life's various fires, then it's absolutely meaningless. And I wanted to excel. There are plenty of people out there that'll give you doctrine, or they'll give you theology, or they'll give you esoteric ideas. But to me, Donna, I'm not of service if I haven't made this practical, if I haven't infused the greatest wisdom of spiritual reality into your life that makes your life more life-enhanced, more empowered, more clarified, then it's meaningless. To me, it's got to be practical. It's got to be about when things aren't going well, how do you, when things are not going well, how do you change that? How do you get your hands on a lifestyle or life strategies that are going to have meaning in your life, that are going to aid you? So the whole idea with the playbook was to give people a playful way of examining different ways of growing, examining where they might put their attention in directions that hadn't occurred to them that improve the quality of their life. It gives them a way to practically take the ideas I talk about in You Are What You Love and infuse them into their life in a way that's playful, in a way that's fun, in a way that they look forward to doing, as opposed to, okay, I know I'm supposed to work on my life, I know I'm supposed to take this self-growth thing seriously, okay, let's trudge through this. Life shouldn't be that way. Enlightenment should be about lightening up. So I wanted to bring it to people in a way that allowed them to see growth as an opportunity to lighten up their life, as a way to see things differently, but mostly importantly as a way to practically speak to how to improve the quality of their life, how to turn around habits that aren't working for them. And again, I can give you all the theology about changing bad habits, but if I don't give you advice and lay out step-by-step wisdom on how to practically embody this in your life, it's meaningless.
Well, I think that you've made some very good statements there. I know we're just about out of time. Now, your website is purplehazepress.com. Also, youarewhatyoulove.com. So you have, those of you listening, have the opportunity to go to both of those websites and check them out because they've got good information there.
There's a shortcut. You can go to Purple V, V as in Violet, V as in Wishali. If You Are What You Love is too many words, you can just go to Purple V because I like the color purple and my name begins with the letter V. PurpleV.com will get you there.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, Wishali, I'm so glad we were able to connect. We ended up with a little bit more time than I had anticipated, but it's been a delight. Thank you for being my guest today, and I look forward to seeing you at the Conscious Life Expo.
I adore that, and God bless you and your tenacity, Donna.
Thank you. We have a fabulous weekend. We'll be seeing you soon. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We are going to have a fabulous weekend. I know you're going to have the time of your life, and we'll be back here, right here at VBSRadio.com, same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.